And Utah being very innovative, technology-driven state, I think Utah could really be a leader in the nation around how to do AI the right way, how we can embrace AI, while at the same time ensuring that we're protecting our citizens and their rights.
Over the last several years, we have seen an exponential increase in the rate of technological innovation, due in large part to the development and implementation of artificial intelligence programs as part of everyday life. Though these programs have been furthering advancements in all aspects of life, they come with their own set of challenges and potential harms. Joining us today to discuss some of the steps being taken to safeguard Utahns from potential abuses of AI is House Majority Leader Jefferson Moss. Representative, thank you so much for taking time today.
Thank you for having me.
So, Representative, first, why don't we take a step back and explain to us real briefly, you work kind of in this area of innovation and technology. How has the rise of artificial intelligence over the last several years really changed the landscape for Utah businesses, for education, and the whole of government?
Yeah, it's interesting because it seems like it just happened overnight. But we've been using artificial intelligence for a long time. People, you know, use Netflix and what show you might want next, right? Things like that have been around for a while. When you go shop on Amazon, we think you might also like this. But I think what really changed the whole discussion and got everybody excited was ChatGPT, where all of a sudden it felt like, wait, they can actually think for itself. That was the perception, right? It was creating its own thoughts. And of course, that's not true. But but there are some things with generative AI where it actually was able to do next steps that nobody had ever seen before. And all of a sudden, people started thinking about, how is this actually going to impact the world? You know, they looked at it from a workforce perspective. That was the first thing a lot of people were starting to think about was, well, this is amazing. I can use this as a tool. I can automate a lot of things. I can actually leverage, you know, even some of the ability to proactively help me solve problems. Or, you know, you're thinking about it from a lens of a marketing person. I can actually write a script and I don't need to spend all this time writing it out. And I think that's when everybody started to get kind of excited about the potential for it. But then you started hearing things like, well, wait a second, what happens if it goes to the next level? What happens if this was put in the wrong hands? You know, the ability for somebody to use artificial intelligence to mimic somebody's voice with very limited 15 seconds of someone's voice, and now they can actually use that. And so there started to be these other concerns. And that's kind of where we started having these conversations was over the last year. And we brought a group of folks together who are all experts in the space. Some of them were academic, some of them were legal. We had a number of folks who are from the private market, Department of Commerce, and said, we've got to kind of figure out what we're doing here. Because we see on the one hand, there's incredible opportunity where governments and private businesses can really use this for good. But what are the things that we need to be careful of? What are the safeguards that we need to put in place? So that's kind of what was the impetus of some of the stuff that I've been working on the last year.
So as we talk about some of these safeguards and this discussion about the potential harms or guardrails that we want to implement here, what exactly is the proper role of government in this artificial intelligence realm?
Yeah. You know, we started kind of early on and took a little bit of a unique approach in somewhat bifurcating the issue. And one of the big concerns a lot of people had, at least tying to government, was that government was going to use this information. The government was somehow collecting all of our data, putting it into an AI model, and actually using that against the citizens. And so that led to the first big thing, which was a Government Data Privacy Act, to say we've got to ensure, regardless, even outside of AI, but we need to make sure our citizens' data is safe and protected. When me as a resident, when I give government my information, my personal information, I want to know that it's only being used for the thing that I told government to use it for. And what we found when we started to drill down on this is that there were some pretty big gaps in our current code around data privacy. There were things on the books, you know, grandma's 32 years old, but things that had not really been enforced. And all of a sudden in this new world of AI where somebody could actually take that information and, you know, do all sorts of things with that information. So we felt it was really critical this year to really put some good parameters and safeguards around that. So that was the first direction that we went. On AI itself, we wanted to make sure some of the safeguards we put there. I mean, Utah, I'll just say this from the beginning. Utah is a light touch state. We're a pro-business state. We're a very innovation-friendly state. But we also want to make sure we're protecting our citizens. And so some of the things we started looking at right out of the gate was, well, what if a generative AI causes harm? But it was a program that somebody, a prompt that somebody gave that actually caused the negative effect on a person. Well, that person should still be accountable for that. So that's one of the pieces that we put in there. We looked at some of the uses of AI in terms of fraud or deepfakes and some of those things that are kind of new. There's things in criminal code already, but we really wanted to put it very clear that these are still bad, illegal things, even if it's AI that's the one that's doing it. So those are the first things that we did. But on the pro-innovation side, we did a number of things, and I'm happy to talk a little bit about that, but creating an innovation lab, working closely with the Department of Commerce and saying, how do we go forward and looking at some of the cool new innovative things that we can use for AI, but do it in a way that there's some safety and some learning along the way. And one of the things we learned really early on is the rate of change with AI is so fast. And if we're just sitting back and waiting every year to kind of do an assessment backward, we're not going to be able to move fast enough to keep up with it. So we actually created a learning lab where we'll be working with people with the Department of Commerce, also working with private industry, and saying, hey, we know there's some cool opportunities, but we want to make sure that our citizens are safe. And so we provided a place where they could come in and actually be part of the learning process and literally developing their own AI business in a place that has that kind of support and protection as they're building out their new models.
So, Representative, with the creation of this AI lab, what are some of the things that citizens and Utahns can expect to come out of this lab as people continue to innovate and experiment with AI technology?
Yeah, so I think what citizens could expect is that we're going to try to stay as much as we can on top of new developments, kind of that bleeding edge of technology. I mean, what I hear from a lot of companies that are developing new AI technologies is that they don't want to go and develop something and 6 months later, some regulatory piece comes in and shuts it down. Now, we're not talking about, obviously, the do not harm type things. Those are already illegal. We shouldn't allow that. But if they're developing a new technology, say in healthcare or in education, and they're wanting to make sure that they're doing it in the right way, that's what this is a good place for. So you're working alongside people that come from the regulatory side, that have a legal background, but also folks that have a deep industry experience working together to say, let's develop out these ideas together around what should those guardrails be. And it gives a surety to those businesses that if they're following, you know, doing the right things, that there's going to be some safety for those businesses. And so that's really what the excitement about this is there's nobody really in the country that's looking at this way, where we're saying we know we need to keep up with the advancements of technology, but we want to work together to come up with what those solutions are.
So, Representative, can you talk about what all does artificial intelligence influence in everyday life?
Yeah, I ran a request this year for Computer Science Initiative. And when we were talking about this and why it's so critical that these students are learning from a young age a basic understanding of computer science, is we're at a point now where every industry, regardless of what you go into, you want to go into farming, if you want to go into manufacturing, if you want to go into automotive, whatever that is, AI is going to be a part of that. So you're going to have the skills to at least understand the basics around that. And also, you know, I look at it through the lens of education. There's some really cool tools that are already being created around how interactive with the student, being able to kind of give that feedback along the way, obviously under the direction of a teacher, of course. But those are things that are going to change the way we do almost everything. And so having a fundamental understanding of how AI works, I think, is really important. And Utah being such a young state and also a very innovative, technology-driven state, I think Utah could really be a leader in the nation around how to do AI the right way, how we can embrace AI, while at the same time ensuring that we're protecting our citizens and protecting their rights.
Now, Representative, as we've seen this rise in artificial intelligence, we've also seen some of the challenges and the negative externalities that it's really had on some citizens' lives, whether that be in higher ed or whether that be in the business sector. Can you talk to some of those challenges and how the state hopes to address those?
Yeah. Well, you mentioned a couple. Of course, ChatGPT, things like that have now been around for a little while. What I think you're seeing a change, and since you mentioned higher education, is professors are even rethinking kind of how they do the learning process. In the past, it was go write an essay, go write a paper, and you'll be graded based on that. And where it is so easy to use those tools, and of course, there's also things out there that can help you to identify if it's ChatGPT. But I think what you're seeing is more of a application of knowledge, right? Rather than just a regurgitation of information and put it into a, you know, an essay format, I think teachers are starting to recognize we need to have more of an engagement of the learning. I know of a number of professors who are actually embracing artificial intelligence and saying this is a great way for you to express yourself, but then you also need to be able to engage and to apply that knowledge in a group setting in front of a classroom. And so I think it's changing a little bit the way we even look at how we do higher education. When I think about how we look at that in the workforce, more and more of these kind of, I would say, more menial tasks that in the past would take a long time to do, writing reports, putting basic PowerPoints together, whatever that might be, a lot of that's been so automated. And so it's very quick. So I think the people that are able to leverage those tools and use them well are going to definitely have a leg up, because their time will be so much more efficient because they're not spending it on some of these other things that in the past they've had to do. But with AI, they're able to do it much quicker.
Mm-hmm. Do you anticipate artificial intelligence affecting the way that the government carries out its business and how that might be able to increase efficiencies in the public sector?
Absolutely. I think that there's a lot of opportunity, but we also very much needed this data privacy protection. We need to ensure, before we look at that through the lens of government, that everything that we're doing is in the interest of protecting the citizens and citizens' data. And so I think, are there ways that we can streamline, make government more efficient, make it lower cost? Absolutely. I think there's a huge opportunity there. We're already using it in some ways, right, around providing, you know, information in a simpler way and putting it in a better way that helps us to communicate with our citizens. There's things like that that are already happening. But I think you'll see over time as we develop out some of these tools, I think it'll actually really improve the way government functions and make things a lot more efficient and hopefully save the taxpayers a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Now, as somebody that regularly works in this kind of area, you know, what does the future of artificial intelligence really look like to you? I mean, we've kind of been a little negative sometimes because we can be worried about some of the negative consequences that could happen. But overall, it seems like it's a really exciting opportunity. What do you envision the future of AI looking like?
Yeah, I think we've talked quite a bit about this, but just the efficiency, the ability to produce things quicker, to work faster, to be able to solve problems. There's things that we can do in terms of maybe in the past when we're looking at data analysis and we're trying to understand trend lines or trying to find things that may help us to provide better services to our constituents. Being able to leverage a tool like AI, I think will make things much simpler and quicker. So I think that there's some really cool things there in terms of where are we going. When you get into things with generative AI, the ability to create things, to be able to create new images and new music or new things that have never existed before, there's some tremendous opportunity there that we can leverage. I think it's exciting. I think it's really interesting. There's a lot of opportunity. And again, I think Utah's trying to be a leader in this space. We're trying to be an innovator, both in terms of what we can potentially do. But at the same time, I don't know many states that are also looking at it through a lens that is so focused around protecting citizens' information and citizen data and ensuring that we do put the right guardrails around, not the heavy, you know, overly burdensome guardrails, but just making sure we're protecting our citizens. I think that's where Utah really can be a leader in the nation.
Well, we appreciate you and the work that you've done in order to make sure that we maintain that light touch while still offering the safeguards to us and our citizens. So, Representative, thank you so much for taking time today.
Thank you for having me.